Hey, man, did you notice her attitude? Did you notice his attitude? I mean, he's got a real attitude. If somebody were looking at your attitude, what would they say about you? Who would they say is the focus of your life? Is it an attitude that is haughty, or is it an attitude that has others' interests at hand? You need to have the mind of Christ if you want to have the right attitude. We'll talk about it today. Well, beloved, we're in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 3, and you are going to look at an extremely famous theological passage. It is a famous theological passage that has a whole lot of application to us. It's a passage that talks about having the mind of Christ, or the attitude of Christ. And if you want joy in your life, you'll find it by having the mind of Christ. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to see, I told you several programs back that one of the key words in the book of Philippians is the word mind or attitude. And it is the key to understanding how to have joy. In chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul's passion was Jesus Christ. His life was Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, he calls us to have the mind of Jesus Christ. If you want to have joy, joy begins with Jesus. Jesus first, others second, and then you. So the mind is very important because the mind determines who's going to be first. The mind determines who we're going to live for, what our priorities are going to be, what our goal is, what our vision, what our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions, everything. Because as a man thinks in his mind, in his heart, so he is. So the mind is very, very important. Now we pick up that word for the first time in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And if you downloaded the study guide, if you went to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and downloaded the free study guide, you saw that we wanted you to mark every reference to mind or attitude. And I did it in just a big blue A. All right, now, verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm with one spirit, with one mind. All right, so he introduces that they're to have one mind. Now, what is that one mind all about? Well, we come down to chapter 2, verse 2, and it says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. So there you would mark it with a capital A again. So we're to be of one mind, we're to be of the same mind, which is another way of saying be of one mind. Don't be divided in your thinking. Every single child of God ought to have this mind, ought to have this attitude. You say, why do you use the word attitude? Because that's the way they translate it in the New American Standard in the fifth verse. But let me go to verse 3. And let's pick up where we mark mind again. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. All right, so what have you learned so far from marking mind? You have learned that we are to be one-minded. The one mind and the same mind. Now you learn that we are to have a humility of mind. Now, what does he mean by that humility of mind? Well, there's no big deal in understanding it if you just follow the principles of interpretation. You know, God really wants you to understand the Word of God. He did not limit understanding the Word of God to the theologians who go to school for years and years and years and get their PhD. He didn't limit it to that. He every child of God can understand the word of God because we get the mind of Christ when we get saved. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You get the mind of Christ so that you can know the things of God. Now, what he's saying is that if you look at this, and what I'm saying is if you look at this and you read it carefully, he's going to explain what humility of mind is. We know the word humility means to humble oneself, to bring oneself down, not to insist on first place. So with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. So humility of mind is simply saying, hey, others are before me. I'm more interested in others than I'm interested in me. I'm do not looking out. Look at verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So humility of mind is, hey, others are more important, and that I'm not to look out only for my own personal interests, but for the interests of others. Now, does that mean that you don't care about yourself? No, read the text. It does not say that you don't look out for your own personal interests. You only look out for others. It says, do not merely look out for your own, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. Yes, you are to take care of your interests. Yes, you are a human being with value. And yet, as a human being with value and knowing God and being in Christ and having the affection and the compassion of Christ and having the encouragement in Christ and having the consolation of love because Christ meets all your needs, that frees you up in turn to meet others' needs because you're not in a relationship just to get what you need. You see, some relationships are like a sacrifice. And what is that? Well, I don't know what it is. It's like an amoeba or something, and it attaches itself to another thing and seeps the life out of it. And you're not to do that. You're not to do that. And that's the way some people are. They just want you for what you can do for them or how you meet their needs or how you wait on them and how you kowtow to them. And that is not healthy. So God doesn't intend that for you, but God intends for you to walk as a whole, healthy person, but in that to have the attitude where you are looking out not for your own interests only, but for the interests of others. And then he gives you this example in verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves. Keep this attitude in you and in all of you as a body of believers. All you saints have this attitude in yourselves. Now, the King James reads this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I like that a lot. All right, so it says, have this attitude, mark it the same way you mark mind, in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. The which is a pronoun that refers to what? You got it. You're so smart. I'm so proud of you. It refers to the mind. So you put an A over the which also, because when you mark a key word, you want to mark the pronouns that are used in place of that key word, and which is a pronoun. So have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what attitude? Well, he's going to explain it. Many times we come and so many times we read the Bible and we just get a verse here and a verse there. And when we get that verse, we're ripping it out of its context. It's like reaching down and grabbing a plant and just pulling it out of the earth. And as you pull it out of the earth, its little tentacles are stuck around that dirt because that dirt is their home. That's their context. And then we shake it off and we've just got those bare little roots that are not going to survive unless they're put in their context. So don't pull a verse out. Look at the verse in its context and interpret it in its context. So what is the attitude that you and I are to have in ourselves, the attitude which was also in Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus, who? although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. All right, now first of all, let's just stop and see what we learn about Jesus here. Now, beloved, when it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, what I want you to do is I want you to mark every reference to Jesus in this epistle. Now, I normally do not do that. Now, I don't want a lot of markings in my Bible so that all I can see are the markings and it's just all messed up. But when you use colors in marking the text, then I can look down and I can count how many references there are to Christ Jesus in this four-chapter epistle. And it blows your mind. You say, how many are there? I'm not going to tell you. And I'm not going to tell you because I love you. And I'm not going to tell you because I want you to discover it for yourself. I want you to go through and I want you to savor every reference to Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ or any pronoun that refers to Him. All right. Now, as you do that, and as you make a list, and we teach you how to do this, as you download our free study guide at preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and you learn to make a list of everything that you learn. Well, when you do that, then you come up with your Christology. What is Christology? It is the theology or the study of Christ. What does the Bible teach about Jesus Christ? What does the Bible teach about the Christ, the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah HaMashiach? What does it teach about the Promised One? All right, well, we learn here that my attitude, my mind, is to be like Jesus. And Jesus' mind was this, that He didn't look out for His own personal interests. Although He existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held onto, a thing I'm not going to let go. Now, what you learn here is that Jesus is equal to God. You see that Jesus is equal to God. And you can do a whole study, an extensive study on the deity of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can go to our website and go through all the scriptures that we list, and you're going to see that Jesus is one with the Father. He is the Son of God, and because He's the Son of God, He has the nature of God. And what does that mean? We'll be right back and talk about it.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Welcome back, beloved student. I am so thrilled with you. I'm so thrilled that you want to know truth, that you want to study God's Word with us, that you want to understand His precepts for life, because they are truly precepts for life. And as we look at the mind of Christ, you can know that this is a precept for life by which you and I are to live. So let's look at the example. It says in Philippians chapter 2, it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, think like He thought. who Jesus, being in the form of God, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, he was not going to hang on to all of his rights and privileges as God, but he was going to, in a sense, let those things go. He was, in a sense, going to empty himself, not divest himself of his deity, but let go of those rights. Why? So that he might save you and me by becoming a servant and dying on the cross. Watch what it says. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. It does not mean that he ever ceased to be God. You have to understand that. Jesus always was, always will be God in the flesh. God incarnate. In and carne meaning the flesh. So he always retains his deity, but he did not grasp his right of all the privileges of God, all the things of heaven, the ivory palaces, as the Bible talks about, where he is praised night and day before the throne of God. No, he was willing to empty himself. In other words, he was willing to let go of that praise and honor and come down to earth and take on himself the form of a servant, the form of a bondservant. Look at what it says, and taking the form of a bondservant. That's why Paul refers to himself and Timothy in Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. In other words, they are humbling themselves and they are coming under, so to speak, a slavery of love to God, to be used in any way that God wants, knowing that God's way is perfect. So Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. In other words, God, Jesus, who is equal with God, came down, in a sense, confined himself to the womb of a woman, was born from that woman, was suckled at a woman's breast, who learned to walk, who learned to talk, who grew in stature and in favor with God and man, always being God, but now being man, and becoming a man and humbling himself so that he humbles himself, so he's suckling at the breasts of a woman that he created. So he's humbling himself because he's learning to walk. He's humbling himself as he lives with his half-brothers and sisters eventually when Mary and Joseph have other children and he's in these relationships. He's humbling himself by being in submission to his parents that are mere man, not God-man. And so here is God-man humbling himself. This is the attitude. It's an attitude of humility of mind in order to achieve God's purpose, which is the love and the care and showing the affection and the compassion to others. That's what he's talking about. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now watch. And being found in appearance as a man. So it's the incarnation. He was God and God in the flesh. He was the God-man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Remember, it's a humility of mind. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If you do not understand the crucifixion, if you do not know exactly what happened, and let me just say this, the movie The Passion is wonderful. Wonderful. And God has used it mightily and we fully supported it because it got the gospel out and awakened people, and people sat there and cried, and they would go like this when they would see it. But even Mel Gibson, and I talked to him in person because I spoke at a conference and he spoke right after me, and so therefore I got to speak to him. But he said, you know, it was worse than I portrayed it. And it is worse. And we have a series on the Passion of the Christ, a series of teaching that takes you to the Word of God so you can go through it verse by verse and you can look at it word by word and you can understand the depth of His suffering. This is the humility of mind. The humility of mind is this, that Jesus is first, and whatever Jesus wants, Jesus gets, because Jesus is God. And what Jesus wants is others. You know, the Bible says that the whole law, all the summary of the law, the Ten Commandments, hang on these two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, and it's not saying, hey, I love myself, therefore I love you. No, it means I treat my neighbor as I would want my neighbor to be, as I would want to be treated. I honor them as I would want to be honored. I respect them as I would want to be respected. I care for them and meet their needs as I would want somebody else to meet mine. All right, so the law hangs on those two things, Jesus first, God first, and others second. And then you have you, and then you have joy because that you have you in the proper perspective. So watch what he says. All right, you have the humility of mind. Jesus' humility of mind was that he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the worst kind of death. When you really understand it, it was not simply putting three nails in two hands and between two feet. It was far more. It was though the whole scourging and the whole act of crucifixion that made it the worst death. No Roman citizen would ever be crucified because it was such a torturous death. Now, this is the mind of Christ. He did that for you. He did that for me. This is the mind, the attitude that you and I are to have, the same attitude that was in Christ. Now, but watch what God did. Therefore, hey, there's another therefore, term of conclusion. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. If you, beloved, will have the mind of Christ, if you will humble yourself, if you will look on the interests of others rather than merely on your own interests, in due time, God will exalt you. He will reward you. And when you bow before Jesus, He will look at you and say, thank you for walking in the same mindset that I've walked in. And that mindset is having a Christ-like attitude.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Thank you.
When somebody looks at you, what kind of an attitude do they see? Do they say, hey, that woman, that man, they have an attitude. And they're saying they have an attitude, and what they're saying is they think that they're it. They think that they are to be the ones that are to be honored. That's not to be it the way it is with you, beloved. The way it is to be with you and the way it is to be with me is when they look at us, they say, wow, that person's interested in me. That person wanted to talk about me more than they wanted to talk about them. That person wanted me to go first. That person cared more about what happened to me than what happened to them. Whoa. Whoa. Where do you get those kind of people? Hey, I want to hang around with them. And when they want to hang around with you because you have the mind of Christ, you can know, hey, you're on the way to becoming what God wants you to become, and that's an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You and I are to be His representatives here on earth. And do you know what that means in a very practical way? That means in a church setting that you are not one that stirs up trouble, but you are one that comes along and soothes the waters and quiets the waters and is kind to other people. It means that you don't always have to have your way. The carpet in the church, in the building program, does not have to be your color. But you're looking out for the interests of others. You want what is best for Jesus. Now, does this mean you don't have any opinion? No, it does not mean that you don't have any opinion. But it means this. It means that you listen to others' opinions. It means that you pray together. It means that you are a catalyst. And a catalyst is something that's like a magnet that draws others to it. So you become the catalyst for Christlikeness, the catalyst for peace, the catalyst for kindness, the catalyst for love, the catalyst for encouragement, the catalyst for joy, the catalyst for affection, so that when they talk about you, they talk about that woman or that man. That's what I want to be like. That person, if they are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to be like them. Or if you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, they look at you and they say, you know, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Or as I grow up in Christ. Beloved, have the mind of Christ. Put it to practice today.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.